This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Edgar Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Crisson.
Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, our Christ. It is his birth that we celebrate at this time of year. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from him. Unite us in Christ, that his love may light our path and guide our footsteps. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
We want everything to look nice. The decorations of the season. Our homes with their lights and tinsel, wreaths and ribbons. We want to lighten the darkness around us. Bring beauty to the ugliness that wears us down. We decorate because it is tradition. Because it lifts our hearts, because it makes us feel like children again, we deck our halls because company is coming. The prophet Isaiah smiled when he said, God will give a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. No matter how far we feel from the spirit of the season, God promises to decorate us with love and with joy. We light this candle as a sign of our joy in the beautiful things of this season, not just the things that glitter and flash, but the deeper things, the beauty of the heart and soul, the beauty of love shared in service and hospitality. We light this candle of joy because company is coming. O come, Emmanuel. Gracious, loving, and merciful God, we come before you on this third Sunday of Advent. We're getting closer and closer and closer to the day we have set aside to remember, to recall, and to celebrate the birth of God among us, Emmanuel, Jesus, the Messiah, Yahshua. Father, as we come and we prepare our hearts, not only to remember His coming as a baby in a manger, let us also prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of God, where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Father, we as Christians hold these two seasons in tension, separated by years, separated by service, saints who have gone on to be with You, and we who are here still called to be messengers of the truth, of the light, of the Messiah, and to join in John the Baptist in proclaiming, prepare for His coming. Father, we pray for the many needs of our church, individually, corporately, for those needs silently carried by us every single day, the worries upon our brow, the brokenness of our lives, the challenges we face, the disappointments we endure, the surprises that are not good ones, the brokenness that is around us, the sickness that can plague us, the trouble that seems to be all around us. And Father, if we were to compare all of these things, we would compare them to darkness that seeks to overcome us, that seeks to swallow us up into nothing, and that there would be nothing left of us, no reason, no purpose. But Father, You have brought life and light into the world. In the beginning, You moved upon the face of the deep, and You spoke, and there was light, and You saw the light that it was good, and You divided it from the darkness which You called night, and the day You said was good. Father, as we pray for one another, our needs, our problems, and our concerns, we also have to celebrate, for everything isn't dark, doom, and gloom. There are moments of joy. There are moments of celebration. There's moments when we are able to love one another, and there are moments when we can feel love from each other. We can feel that love from You, but sometimes, Father, it's just good to have flesh and blood, real hands that we can see, tender words that we can hear. And Father, we pray for other churches and faith families in our community and around the world where Christ is preached, taught, and believed to be the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto the Father. We pray for our community beyond our churches. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our state. We pray for our nation. Father, we see so much division, so much hatred, so much anger, so much animosity, so much disappointment. Father, it seems that we can't find a common place, a common ground, a common thing in our nation today. Tensions are high. Feelings of dread are high. Anger and frustration abound. Father, Jesus Christ is the key, and we Christians know that. But do we live it out? Father, give us strength to be light into this darkened time, that the common ground on which we would meet would be the cross of Jesus Christ, upon which the very Son of God, a baby born in a manger, a man living out a life of witness, preaching, and teaching, was sacrificed for every single sinner and every single sin. Let it be upon this sacrifice we gather and rejoice in the resurrection and look forward to the second coming. Father, we pray for those who are in nursing homes, those who are in shut-ins in their own homes. We pray for those who fear during this time of sickness and pandemic. Father, now we ask that You hear us. as we join our hearts and voices to pray, as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man.
Its rising is from the end of heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
But who can understand one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults.
Also, keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer.
John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then again 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you? He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, No. Then they said to him, Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to add a little reading to this morning, as it'll kind of frame where we're going to go with John's gospel. This is a reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The Gospel of John is filled with references of light and dark, fear and faith, failure and success. The Gospel of John is the last authoritative book written. It's written probably around 90 to 96 A.D. It is at the end of the Gospel of John that we have no more books included in our canon. It was felt that if we included any more while there wasn't yet a living witness to their validity, it couldn't be put in. So we find the Gospel of John to be the last authoritative word by a living apostle, the youngest one picked by Jesus. And John gives us these images of light and dark and good and evil. And that carries through to us even today. Light has significance for us. We light candles. The candles in worship represent God the Father and God the Son. They remind us that Christ is the light of the world. We realize that light is considered good and darkness is considered bad. How many of you have ever had a cold or the flu and noticed that it gets worse at dark? Am I the only one that happens to? It just seems like I stuff up more at night. You know, I want to go to sleep, but I can't. I'm all drippy and congested and all that stuff. Come sun up, I feel a little better. I think, man, I'm getting over this. Nighttime says, you thought you were getting over it. That's how it goes. But darkness, there's another thing that we see in life, is that we often equate darkness with bad and darkness with evil. We associate the light with good and with hope. That's where we get the phrase, there's light at the end of the tunnel. That means there's hope. That comes out of the old idea of the miners who would see that light at the end of the shift and know there was hope to come out of that dark place from which they had labored. There is light that is around us. Light always overcomes the darkness. But there are other kinds of darkness. Many people in our world today suffer from depression. Depression is often described as a darkness that seeks to consume those from whom they suffer. It's also, I've noticed, part of a lot of other mental struggles that we have is that idea of darkness. That idea of a place that surrounds us seeks to bring us in and take away our hope. Darkness in the world around us today is seen in many different ways. We have the image. How many of you like Westerns? Oh, thank goodness. We have something in common from North Carolina to Wyoming. I love Westerns. How many of you watched Bonanza? Dan Blocker was my hero. Remember him? Hoss. He had that great big white hat he wore, that big old Stetson he wore. Loved it. Loved it. Loved that show. But I always noticed that back in the old Westerns of the day of Lone Ranger and Tonto and Hopalong Cassidy and all of those good old Westerns, the black were the evil guys, you know. The black hats were the bad guys, and the white hats were the good guys. There was always that definition between good and bad, that black and white, that difference of darkness and light. And we have come to associate it with that today, isn't it? When we go to a funeral, how do we typically dress? We put on our dark attire, for we feel that's appropriate. When you're going to a Christmas party, how do you dress? Festive. How many of you would show up dressed like me at a Christmas party and expect to be a hit? Thank you, sir. She just threw you under the bus, Lynn. Did you see that? But yeah, this is probably how I would dress. No, I wouldn't get out of the house like that. Somebody's telling me that. But I mean, that's really what it is. You know, we got these somber occasions, you know. We feel like darkness is that somberness, that feeling of loss, that feeling of almost of dread. And I'm afraid that in the world today, we see images of darkness as violence fills our streets. We see violence show up in the dark of night from cities of Washington, D.C., Seattle, Washington, and all over the country. We see people dressed in black and perpetrating crimes in our streets. That idea of darkness is also associated with evil, doubt, depression. How many of you ever toured a cavern? I remember as a kid, touring Linville Caverns back in North Carolina. I was in maybe the second grade. And I remember as you go in that you see these beautiful brown trout in this little stream beside the walkway as you go in, but they're blind. They've lived in that cavern for so long that their eyes no longer develop. And they're always blind. They can never see. And if you've ever been to one of these cavern tours, you know that at some point, they're going to turn off all the lights on you. And how many of you felt that that was a darkness that got on you? I mean, it was just so dark, it's almost like you could feel it. That is the picture of hell. Hell is pictured as utter darkness and pain and hurt. We need to understand heaven is a city of light, for God is there, but hell is the deepest, darkest place you could ever imagine. Forever separated from the light, which is God, separated from His presence, unable to see anyone else. I've got news for you. You're not going to go to hell and have a party. You're not going to bust hell wide open and get with your buds. I'm sorry, that ain't the way it's going to work. You're going to be alone in torment in a darkness that you can't get out of. But heaven is a place of light where we will be known as we are known, where the fellowship will be sweet, where the river of life flows and the tree of life gives its fruit in season. You see, there's quite a contrast between the light and the dark. So here we have John the Baptist, about 30 years old. Remember, John the Baptist is about 6 months older than Jesus. Remember that John the Baptist, 6 months older than Jesus, is also filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist is preaching. He's causing quite a stir. And these scribes and Pharisees, they got to go find out what's going on. They got to go out and examine him. They got to go out and interrogate him. So I want you to get your book out if you've got it. You might want to underline a thing or two, because there's a contrast going on that we as Christians need to understand. How many of you wonder what you're supposed to do as a Christian? Anybody? How many of you wonder, how do I witness? How do I witness? How do I witness? How many of you are flawless? How many of you make no mistakes? How many of you have no character defects? I know I'm not pausing long enough for a hand to go up, but maybe I should. How many of you have got it all figured out what it's like to be a Christian and to live a Christian faith? Well, here we go. Let's talk about it. So here we have John, a voice in the wilderness. Join me at 6. There was a man sent from God. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you accept Him as your Savior, you are reconciled with God. You become a man or woman who is going to be sent by God. Remember the Great Commission. We are all sent into the world to make disciples and to spread the good news. All of us, not just the pastor. There was a man or a woman sent from God whose name was John. This is not John the writer of the gospel. This is John, the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. This is the cousin of Jesus. Here he is. He came as a witness. Underline that. He came as a witness. A witness is someone who has integrity, someone who has knowledge, someone who is informed, about something that they may not embody themselves. They are informed, but they are a witness. They are going to tell the truth. Now, sometimes you have a false witness. Got to watch out for those, right? But it's a witness. I saw Nicholas light these candles this morning. I can leave this church and I can go tell everybody that I saw Nicholas Randall Griffin light three purple candles at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church, 1515 Egger Street. I was there. I saw him. He did it. Now, that's why the church burned. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Press F, Nick. You'll have to find out about that later. So this is what you, it's a witness. It's somebody that is telling something about something they know. John was called to be a witness. And that's what he's doing. And that's what we are called to be first, to be a witness. But we need to figure out what we're a witness of and are we qualified. He came as a witness to testify to the light. To testify to the light, to the hope, to Christ, so that all might believe through him, not John, but through the light. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Now he's going to get examined, and he's going to quote Isaiah, the one, a voice crying in the wilderness. But what I want us to see this morning is light into the world. We are called to be witnesses of the light. Every queer Christian is called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. I don't care how many faults and failures you have. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about witnessing to the light that is Jesus Christ. You can't need to admit your faults. I've got news for you. How many of you really despise somebody that never does anything wrong? Who has just got it all together and all they can do is point a finger at those other people that don't? Oh, you don't know anybody like that, do you? Not at all. I figured out about 12 minutes after 5 this morning that I still had some character defects. I did. I figured it out. How many of you, when you get up, are just ready to go? I am, to the coffee maker. I got to get there. It's got to happen. And thank the Lord, my wonderful wife, she knows how to make coffee. Because halfway to the coffee maker, I yell, "In the cup!" And when I get there, it's ready. You see, if coffee ain't strong enough to get the cup on its own, it's not coffee. That's the way it's got to be. I mean, you got to have coffee. I mean, you got to take that first swallow and feel that caffeine go, "Boom, ah, we're here." And the second one says, "Ha, ha, ha." And by the fourth cup and by the end of the pot, you're going, "I'm ready for today." You know, whatever. But, you know, then you crash. But that's another story. You go for more coffee. But we are to be witnesses of the light as Christians. It isn't about me. But that's what the devil's going to do. He's going to tell you that you're a dud. You're a failure. You've got faults. You can't witness. How dare you think you could represent the living God? How dare you be able to tell anybody about Jesus? But you need to. You need to tell them about Jesus even through your imperfections and tell them he loves me even though I mess up. He loves me even though there are days when I could tear somebody's head off and not blink twice. But he still loves me. I'm not perfect, but he is. You see, make the message about Jesus, not about you. They'll turn it around on you. They'll say, "Well, I know you when you were such and such." I went to preach a revival service in Old Fort, North Carolina, at a little country church out there, Ebenezer United Methodist Church. I hadn't been a pastor maybe 4 or 5 years, and I used to love to go preach revivals. I miss revivals. I miss having revivals. But you folks out here don't seem to have them. I don't know of them. I mean, we used to go out and get a ball field and preach for a week and just have people come in, have singing, preaching, then have a big baptizing down at the river after all that was over with. But I went over there to preach, and lo and behold, I'm not going to use his name since this is all, but I look back in the back row, first out of the revival on Sunday night. It's going to go Sunday through Saturday. And I look back there, and there sits a guy I went to high school with. Now, you need to understand, my favorite pastime in high school was fist fighting. I selected somebody every day at lunch. How many of you remember the long tables in the lunchrooms? Like 4 8-foot tables. How many of you had those giant aluminum salt shakers and pepper shakers on the tables? Nobody ever had. We did. Each table had a salt pepper shaker on it. I would slide the salt shaker down, and wherever it stopped, I got out of my seat and I went and hit them in the back of the head as hard as I could hit them. Start a fist fight right then and there. Yes, I went to the office. So what? It didn't bother me none. They'd beat on me with a paddle. So what? They didn't know what I was getting at home was just a sample. You know, it's just they were amateurs. They needed to get their act together, you know. I had fun that I thought was good, and nobody really liked me. They were my friends, but they were afraid maybe not to be. I never have had a car fast enough. Anybody else like to drive hot rod cars? Now, I grew up in the day when the back had to be about this high, and the front bumper nearly on the, anybody else been there? Ladder traction bars on that thing so it wouldn't wheel hop just pulling out from a stop sign. I loved them just loud. My thing was, I put headers on them. How many of you have had headers on your car? And you get under there and you take 3 bolts out and you turn your pipe and put one in and you had straight pipes. That's how you drag race them. Anybody do that? Other than me, I got a ticket one time in Spruce Pine, North Carolina for slick tires. The reason they were slick is they were Mickey Thompson wrinkle wall slicks. We were fixing to go drag racing. He said, boy, I know what them are. He said, I could write you a big ticket for improper equipment and race equipment on my, but I'm going to let you go. I said, good, I'm in a hurry. Always was. That boy knew me. That boy had been at the end of the salt shaker more than once. He had been at the football games that happened. You know, I like to play football. How many of you played football? Do you know what it's like to put your shoulder into somebody so hard that you hear them go, and then you slam them on the ground and they go, ooh. And when you get back over to the bench, the coach hits you on the helmet and says, good hit, good hit. Man, I liked that. That was the way you played football when I was growing up. You know, that's just, I would have loved to have played hockey. Now, you need to understand, I'd have been a dirty hockey player. Bill, people would have walked out of there with some bad ribs because that stick would get them. Yeah, you know, I see what's going on out there. I pay attention. I don't want Nicholas to learn those things too much, just a little. But anyway. But he's sitting back there. And I see him, I know him. So I begin my first sermon. After the service is over, had an altar call and all those things. And to be honest with you, I kind of was focused on him. I didn't know what his plan was. I didn't know if it was revenge night. I didn't know what his deal was. I'd been bad to this guy. So he was the last one to leave that night. And I let's call him Johnny. I said, Johnny, what you doing over here? He said, I heard you as a preacher. And I heard you as preaching, I had to come to see it for myself. He come every night of that revival meeting, and on Saturday night he gave his life to Jesus. He said, if God can use you, God can use me. Somebody else needs to hear that message out there, folks. You see, that's John's message. John's message was, prepare your heart. The Messiah is coming. John said, I am not the light. I'm not, you're not, they're not. But Jesus is. That message hasn't changed. We've got it complicated. We've made it weird. We've got it all kind of messed up. But John's message was one of humility. I must decrease that he would increase. It's not about me. I'm not the light. But I'm telling you, get ready. The light is coming. The message for us today is the same. The Messiah came. He lived. He died. He rose from the grave. The light into the world. The hope of the nations. And the message we have today isn't about me. Anytime you want to witness about Jesus, tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus did. When they turn it on you, say, I'm not telling you about me. I'm full of my faults and failures. But Jesus still loved me. Jesus still died for me. Jesus loves you and died for you too. Give them a message of grace and hope. But we have to tell them the same thing. Jesus is coming again. And it could be at any time. And just as John's message said, prepare your hearts, the Messiah comes. Our message today is, prepare your hearts, the Messiah comes. You see, that's Advent. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we anticipate the return of Jesus. Our message needs to be the message of John the Baptist. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare for the light. We aren't the light, but we share the light in the world. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I feel like in this message this morning that somebody out there, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please, no looking around. This is a private time in the service, if you will. I feel like there's somebody out there this morning who is struggling with the darkness of depression. If that is you, I want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? Don't leave it. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I struggle with evil that is around me, and it seems like it wants to destroy me every minute. Pray for me. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, I struggle with witness. And I'm going to tell them about the light that is Christ. I want to pray for you to be bold in your witness. Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I love Jesus. And I've got my faults and failures. Pray for me that he'll use me to spread his message. Slip your hand up. Amen. I want to pray for you, Pastor, as you preach and teach and share the light. In your ministry, I'm going to ask my church, you folks this morning, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Slip your hand up and amen. And please know that I pray for you every day and will continue to do so. Father, I would pray that we are filled with your Holy Spirit as was John. I would pray that we would be witnesses of the light that is still to come, but also of the light that is, for he did come. He rose from the dead and he ascended to the heaven to the right hand of God. And it is from there he comes to judge the living and the dead. Father, we pray today that we would be witnesses of his light and that we would live in anticipation of his second coming. May we go to be witnesses of the light to spread love, joy, and peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, remember, we will have a Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock. It will be only live. There will not be a broadcast via Zoom or Facebook. It will be a live candlelight service that is on Christmas Eve. And now may grace and peace go with you as you share the good news of the light of the Messiah, hope unto the nations. Share His love, share His grace, share His healing, share His hope. Share what He has done for you and what He is still doing for you. And truly may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.